Chapter 4. You are the prophet of your life. The Lord carried Ezekiel away in the spirit to a valley which was full of dry bones. To Ezekiel, it was a hopeless situation. Then the Lord asked him, "Can these bones live?" And he replied, "Lord, it's up to you." That's what we say to God sometimes when he asks us, "Can these things change?" We tell him it's up to him. If he wants things to change, they will. And if he doesn't, they'll remain the way they are. That's not true. If God were running everything and running everyone's life the way many of us think he is, then he certainly has everything in a mess. He's not running everything. The fact is that many people are running their own lives, and many others have handed the reins of their lives to the devil. I heard about a man who was in a church meeting where the preacher was explaining to the people how they were responsible for the things happening in their lives. This man got up and angrily stomped out of the church. Someone asked him at the door why he was leaving, and he said he didn't agree with the preacher. He was angry at the preacher for trying to blame us for everything. You see, people will rather lay the blame of their misfortunes on God. Once they don't understand why certain things are happening, you'll hear them say, "God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." We can't tell how God is going to move. He might choose to bless us someday. God doesn't run anybody's life that way. If you study the Bible, you'll see that he has actually given us the power to influence our destiny, to control our future, and whatever happens to us in life. You can actually affect your life, your future, and your own world. So whatever becomes of you is really up to you. Kenneth Hagin tells a story. Kenneth Hagin tells a story of a woman who came to him for prayer for her 15-year-old son. When she asked him to pray, he told her his prayer wasn't going to do any good. She asked him why, and he said to her, "If I pray for your son, you'll nullify it because you're always telling him he'll end up in a penitentiary and never amount to anything. So it won't do any good for me to pray for him." In desperation, she asked, "What am I going to do now?" He then counseled her, "Stop worrying about him getting saved and start thanking God for his life. Thank God for taking care of him wherever he is, instead of worrying something terrible is going to happen to him. They may bring him home to you dead that way. Thank God for him and declare, 'Lord, I cast all my cares on you because you care for me and you care for my son. Wherever he is, he's right in your hands.'" She began to learn that, and several months later she came back and said it worked. Her son was born again, and just the same way he was all out for the devil, he became all out for God. Hallelujah. Say it, see it, and you've got it. David Yonke Cho also tells a similar story of a woman who came to him and said, "Pastor, help me. My daughter is making the whole family sick. She's such a wayward, evil sinner. I've prayed to God and nothing has changed." She ranted on and on. "Woman, you're in greater trouble than your daughter," Pastor Cho chided. "Can't you just for a moment see a beautiful, successful, honest, decent daughter?" "Oh no, Pastor. You don't know my daughter," she said. "She's wayward. Right now as we speak, she's in a hotel somewhere with some man. We're all embarrassed. We don't know what to do with her." "Don't talk like that," Pastor Cho rebuked her again. "I can't help it," she replied. "Well, as long as you see your daughter like that, that's the way she's going to be. But you can decide to see her coming back home born again, filled with God's Spirit, a wonderful Christian," he told her. "Oh, that would be wonderful," she said. Then he told her he wasn't going to pray until she started seeing that, and instructed her to write this down and declare it every day. "My daughter's born again. She's filled with the Spirit. She's a wonderful Christian, and she's coming back home." She took the slip home and read it out loud to herself again and again every day until she got so filled with it, she began to see it. Several weeks later, she came back to Pastor Cho and announced excitedly, "Pastor, my daughter is a wonderful Christian. She's saved. She's full of the Holy Spirit and she's coming back home. Oh, I just can't wait. Thank you, Lord." She was filled with such joy. they had a hard time calming her. Now we can pray, Pastor Cho said, and he prayed a simple prayer of agreement with her. A few days later, very late in the night, there was a knock on the door. She opened the door and there stood her daughter. She told her mother she didn't know what came over her in the hotel room, but she got rid of the man and came right home. And now she wanted Jesus in her heart. She was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Glory to God. Don't tell me it doesn't work. You can prophesy your future. Your future is right in your mouth. Go forth and prosper. Some years ago, a young man came to me lamenting that everything he had ever done had failed. I asked if he'd been born again for long, and he said he'd been a Christian several years. I sat him down, opened my Bible, and showed him a few scriptures. Then I asked him, "See here, who's responsible for riches?" "God," he said. "How about wealth?" "God." "Strength?" "It's God." "Who makes men great?" "God," he answered again. Then I said to him, "In the name of Jesus, go forth and prosper and fail no more." He began to prosper in all things from that day forth. You've got to understand, however, that it's all in the Word. You don't have any reason to fail. That has been ruled out of your life. You've got to have that as your spiritual mentality, not just something you assent to in your head. You must receive it as a revelation in your spirit. There's a new kind of thinking for the child of God. And the only way you get it is not by praying to God to give it to you, but by studying the Word of God. The Word will change your thinking to line up with God's thinking. For example, I can't get healed from malaria or from any disease for that matter. Why do I say that? It's because I can't have it in the first place. The very fact that I'm claiming healing from malaria means I've agreed that I was infected with it. But I know I can't have an infection because I've been declaring it for years. And it's been that way. You can declare the same and live a disease-free and disease-proof life. Say this: I'm going from health to health, from success to success, from strength to strength. I'm growing in knowledge, in understanding, and in wisdom. The ability of God is at work in me. I can never be a failure. I am a success. The hand of God is upon my life. I'm moving forward and making progress. The strength of God is in me. The spirit of might is at work in me. I look ahead with great expectation because I know I have a great future. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't curse. Prophesy. You can speak God's word concerning you and the things you are involved with. You can also speak God's word concerning the church. I tell God's people not to curse or say the wrong things about the church. You're a part of the church, and whatever you say about the church will reflect on you and affect your life. Don't say the church is weak and in need of revival. No. Why don't you prophesy instead that the power of God is going to move in the church? Talk about the wind of God's Spirit that's going to blow through the church. Because he said, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." You ought to declare that things are working out right in the church because the Spirit of God is moving in her. Look at Israel. They messed up and blew it so many times. But the prophets will come and say things like, "A remnant shall be delivered." Always they were inspired by God to prophesy right concerning Israel, because he knew the power to keep the people in the kingdom and in line with his will rested in prophecy. God said through Jeremiah the prophet, "Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, and it shall come again from the land of the enemy. There is hope in thine end. Thy children shall come again to their own border." Jeremiah 31, verses 16 to 17. That's what God said about the children of Israel, and that's what he's saying today concerning the church. Prophesy about your life and your future. Peter, reiterating Joel's prophecy, said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." This ought to let you know that as a child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have received the enablement to speak words of power. Remember again that one of the two aspects of prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. As you speak forth the word concerning you under the anointing, you are prophesying upon your life, and what you say is what you get. You're going to have to learn to prophesy to your life and your future. You need to know this. Your future is in your mouth. You're fully responsible for your future. Nobody else is. There are no limits to what you can imagine and make out of your life. That's because God has set the world, that means all of eternity, in the hearts of men. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Every time you speak about your life or your future, you're actually prophesying. The only problem is, you may have been a false prophet. Romans 3, verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So if God has said something about you, and you've been saying something else, then you've been lying. You made yourself a false prophet over your own life. For instance, if God has said you're a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and your path is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day, Proverbs 4, verse 18, and you say, I don't feel like one. I don't think I am. I think I need to be born again all over again. I don't understand my life anymore. My future looks so bleak and hopeless. I'm not living. I'm merely existing. Then you're lying. You made yourself into a false prophet. I wish you would understand the power of prophecy. Did you know that from that zero point where you are, you can chart a new course for your life and determine your future through words of power? Yes, you can. You can prophesy about your life and declare the future you want to have from now. You might feel like the most neglected person on the face of the earth. You may be all alone in your room, crying because you feel like everything has gone bad. In the midst of your tears, you can begin to prophesy to yourself and say, Thus saith the Lord unto you, I am with you, son. I am your shepherd. Therefore, you shall not want. You may be in pain, but you call your name and declare to yourself, You're coming out of this pain in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to you, you're coming out of this. Hallelujah. Many times we're waiting on somebody to utter a word for us to be blessed. But we're the children of the word, and the word concerning us has already been given. You don't have to wait for someone else to come and declare that to you. You can tell it to yourself. That's the way I've been talking all these years, and that is all I have experienced. No ups and downs, just the upward and forward life. Glory to God.